Yeah, baby. Well, now we have a Navy SEAL, to our credit, that grew up here. And now we got Jonathan. We'll find out in January if he heads to Berklee School of Music, which we would anticipate he had his in a studio. Yeah. So he wanted to get as far away from Bay Cities as he could, so he's going to Boston. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, the song that he played, some of you know if you've been around Christianity, but Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And to have a young man up here choose that song on his own, it just, the fact that he wants to play a song that says over and over again, Jesus is mine, is just cool. Because he could have picked, there's lots of music out there. There's some Beatles tunes that are very cool, that talk a lot about love, like every one of them, kind of, but in their own way. But great job on the boxes, very cool. I love when these are up here every year, and they're our gift of love to the world, and there's a whole bunch more, but they're not quite as eclectic as they used to be. There was weird boxes in the past, and they're kind of, you know, although there's one little over here that this really does look like there should be chocolate chip cookies in it. I mean, come on. There should be chocolate chip cookies in there. I was thinking today, I was wondering, what if somebody like kind of taped a $100 bill to the bottom of one? I wonder if that happens. I think they go through all of them, don't they? And they'd probably take the $100 bill out and make 10 boxes, but that's okay. That's all right. So they just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. Two hunters. You may have heard about these guys. What, you don't think this is true? Just as I start? Two hunters were out hunting and come upon what appeared at first to be an abandoned farm. And the barn was sagging, the house was in disrepair, and there was junk cars and car parts lying all around, and the only thing that made it a working farm was a few chickens pecking away and a goat wandering around. As they entered the yard, they came across an old well, and one asked the other, "I wonder how deep it is." Ladies, if you need to know, this is what guys talk about. I want to say on one hand, it's not real deep, but I wonder how deep it is, all right? The other said, "Well, we'll have to drop something down and listen for the splash." They look around for something to drop down the well, but the only thing close by was an old transmission. They both hauled it over the well and dropped it in. Just guys. They counted and they waited a long time for the splash. It was deep. It was a deep one, all right. They turned to leave and saw the goat was charging at them, head down, horns headed straight for them. At the last moment, they jumped aside, and the goat went right past them and straight over the side down the well. They looked at each other in amazement. As they started to leave, the owner of the farm came up. They chatted for a moment and got permission to hunt on his land. The farmer asked, "Have you seen my goat?" They said, "Your goat almost killed us charging at us. You should have had that goat tied up." The farmer said, "I thought I had him tied up to an old transmission." Here's the lesson of the day. You follow what you're tied to. You follow it. Oh. I got the greatest job in the world. That is possible. Let's pray as we begin. Father, thanks that we can be together. And Lord, we want to be tethered to you in every way that we can. We want to be tied to you. We want to follow you. We want to charge after you and be close. Be safe because of you. So Jesus, we want to always honor you. Thank you for Jonathan's hands and his mind, and his talent as a young man. May you bless him in the years ahead to not only become an incredible musician that gets to serve with his music all the days of his life. But let his heart be tender towards you as well. May Jesus always be his by choice. And Lord, as we try to understand truth, just touch our hearts. Jesus, we welcome you into this room and certainly into each of our lives. And we want to follow you in every way we can. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're chronologically, if you're new with us, working our way through the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm kind of glad there isn't a fifth gospel. Although some people, I guess, say there is, they're making belief. But as depicted in the New Testament, and sort of just a story or an event or a situation at a time. And last week I mentioned that we were going to raise Lazarus from the dead today. I need to apologize. I don't know that I lied. I misspoke. There's just too many verses. And there's some football today. There's a second service. And so rather than mess everything up, we're going to raise Lazarus after Thanksgiving. So next Sunday, all right? Sorry about that. But I'd be here if I were you. Now concerning Jesus. We want to be people who get it. We want to get it. We want to get him. We want to understand in real ways as much as we can what's available to us in Jesus. We want to see Jesus for all that he is. We want to, if it's possible, to unveil him in any way that we can. We want to do our best as he's unveiled before us through truth to get our lives close to him. As close as we can. An attempt to trust him completely, whatever that looks like. In a world that does not trust him, that does not even want to listen to his words, we want to be people who listen to the best of our ability. Now, trust, it's an interesting word. It really is. Trust defined, if you went on Microsoft Word, at least an old version. I'm always afraid of the new versions because everything changes, it seems. Trust defined is confidence in someone or something. It's hopeful reliance on what will happen in the future. It's somebody or something people put faith in. Kind of defines what trust is. And trust, as we know in life, can be given. Trust can be broken. Trust can be limited. It's funny how as we get older, we trust less and fewer. Because our hearts have been broken. And we can become cynical, certainly. And careful. Today is about building our capacity to trust. Now watch this as we begin. Trust.
What does it mean to trust someone?
To trust someone.
That's a really hard question to ask.
I really don't know.
I could answer it for about an hour.
Trust is actually one of the most important things in any kind of relationship.
Trust is the most important thing in the world to me.
Trust somebody means that you can be able to tell them whatever you want to tell them.
Don't have to worry about them. Go and spread it to other people.
It's giving yourself to somebody and putting yourself in somebody else's hands.
To put your faith into someone.
To like have total faith in somebody and confidence that they'll be there and that they won't lie to you.
To wholly believe in what the person stands for and who they are and have faith in them as a person.
You can just depend on them.
They're always there.
They're reliable.
They'll never betray you.
I think it's somebody you have to have really close connection to.
Is there anyone that you can fully trust?
Yeah, I think about at least a handful of people that I really, really trust.
My family and my ex-girlfriend, I could.
Family members, some friends. It's rare to find friends like that, but when you find friends like that, there's the ones you can keep around.
The person I would trust would probably be family members, because I know that no matter what, they'd always have my back.
My parents.
I trust my sister.
I trust everyone until they give me a reason not to trust them.
I mean, it's really hard to find somebody like that.
I've learned not to trust too much, because then you kind of end up setting yourself up for
to be let down.
Has there ever been anyone that's just let you down and totally broken your trust?
Yes. Boys. Yeah, I have had my trust broken. It hurts, but it's reality sometimes.
It's hurtful.
Feel disappointed. Kind of feel mad at them too. You might not want to talk to them for a while.
Me personally, I just stopped talking to them.
I think you need to choose your friends wisely, and I think certain situations will let you know whether or not they're your true friends.
You put your trust in them and then they break it, and it's like one of the worst feelings in the world.
If they had broken that trust, it would take me a while to trust them again, but I think I could.
If you can show to me and prove to me that you have, you know, in a sense, fixed the problem within yourself, and you can express that outwardly, then you have my trust back.
It definitely wouldn't be an overnight thing, but they probably have to show me, I guess, through their relationships with other people that that they can exemplify trust and that they are capable of being trusted again.
To trust someone is to surrender a certain amount of control. To fully trust someone, I think partly means that you accept that you can't depend completely on yourself.
Classic line of the video. I trust my ex-girlfriend.
Gotta love him.
Gotta love him. Number one in your notes. First off, Jesus heads to a dangerous place. Jesus leaves Perea after he hears about Lazarus and that he's got a serious health situation unto death. And his guys, as you'll recall, thought it was too dangerous. Last week we covered. And Jesus said, we're going anyway, so off they go. The guys followed thinking this was a death march. It's going to be over. Those guys are so ticked at us back in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. We're in big trouble. Pick it up in verse 17. He says, on his arrival, and this is from Perea to the outskirts of Bethany of Judea, a couple of miles away, as we'll see later, from Jerusalem. Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So he gets there, he arrives. Remember, no cell phones, no emails, no tweeting, texting, none of that stuff, right? And 4 days means something back then. It means something today too. But his body, they did not have refrigeration. His body had begun to decompose. They didn't take all the fluids out of his body, as happens to us when we die, and it's all clean and sanitary. And all that. Very warm climate. You can imagine the situation here. Ridiculous to think of him, Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days now, to be alive again. Remember, it's not going to happen today. It's going to happen next week after Thanksgiving. I really wanted to do it before Thanksgiving to make you thankful, but the story will hold. Verse 18. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. There you go. There you go. Appreciate that. So they were close to where Jesus was, almost called Jesus Jerry. They were close. Never done that before in my life. Oh my. You have fun at your work and so can I. So can I. So can I. where he was very unpopular. Very, very unpopular. It points out the risk here that the men and Jesus were taking, just coming back, which is a beautiful thing. It's a courageous thing. Jesus wasn't afraid. He knew that God's timetable was going to take place, that nobody could supersede that. Verse 19, let's go on. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. This tells us that they were well known. People had arrived, that potentially they had a bit of wealth, that so many people would come to their brother, and that they were just loved in the community. So Jesus is now just outside of Bethany, preparing to do the most amazing miracle, really probably of all time. Again, that's going to happen next week. So the stage is set. Number two there in your notes, Martha to Jesus, you could have healed him. You could have healed him. So Martha, you're going to see, has this rendezvous with Jesus, and some interesting comments are made, as we'll see. Pick it up verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, remember, Martha was the get-her-done gal of the two sisters, right? We know that from the story. She was the active one, right? She went out to meet him outside of Bethany, but Mary stayed at home. Now, Mary is considered the more sensitive one, potentially the more quiet, reflective one because of what happened in their home at the dinner party. But it's interesting, in a way, how the Bible shows us as different people. And there's nothing wrong with it. Now, we know that, but it's interesting how it kind of lays it out. These are two sisters, same mom and dad, grew up in the same house, and they're totally different. And if I had a picture of my four daughters up here, they are not the same. I could spend 30 minutes. Matter of fact, my daughters would love that if I spent 30 minutes on them. I'm kidding, of course. But we all get it. We're just different. And it's okay. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that, but I love how that comes out here. So she stayed at home grieving, as her sensitive heart would do. Even though Jesus is coming, she may want to rethink that. But verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, so she respectfully refers to him as Lord. Seems like one of the first things she says to Jesus. I don't know what the first thing you would say to Jesus if you could get his attention and he was here in the room and you had something to say to him. But she says, Lord, if you had been here earlier, 4 days ago, my brother would not have died. Now, this is an interesting statement to say the least. So basically, she's saying at this point, Jesus, you could have stopped all this grief. And we don't think there's great anger in the statement. She's kind of telling the truth, and we all would agree, well, that is true. It's a fact. But it is interesting in life what grief allows us to say at times and think and ponder. I mean, some could take from this, if they wanted to, Jesus, it's kind of your fault that my brother's dead. Now, I don't sense there's a lot of that in here, but it wouldn't be a far stretch to say, dude, settle down. Find something better to say to Jesus. He came. Not in your timetable. What do you do when God doesn't show up in your mind, in your life? You know where I'm going with this. I'm going to mess with you today. Verse 22. Now, Martha wasn't angry. Again, we can tell that by her next statement. She says, but, she kind of pulls herself together, and she says, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. So she's sort of saying, look, this isn't what we want, but somehow God will bring good out of this. And it is the truth. So she's not completely lost or dark here. But her statement is a little questionable. She had faith in his power. She's saying, look, you're beyond us. But couldn't imagine him. It's not even a possibility that you could bring my brother back now. Not even Jesus is that good, right? It's sort of what she's saying here. Not even Jesus is that good. She didn't get it. She honors Jesus publicly and by way of confession, and at the same time limits him too. That's a fascinating thing. It's part of the message today. Could we have the real Jesus in our life, yet we tremendously limit him? That's really my question of the day. Can Jesus be freed inside of us? It's not about seeing miracles happen. It's about the incredible impact of a real faith and a real closeness to Jesus. Number three. Martha thought she knew what he said. She really thinks she knows what he's saying. Jesus tells us a direct, unbelievable story. Look what Jesus says directly to Martha. Amazing words. Too amazing to be taken seriously. What are we talking about? Verse 23. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And Jesus meant what was going to happen next week. that Lazarus really is going to come back from the dead. I mean, he really is. Martha answered, yeah, I know. I know, he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. I'm with you on that, Jesus. I'm good with that. As we all are. I'm good with that. The Old Testament taught the resurrection of the human body. And she knew the truth. It wasn't even a thought to her that he might be talking about now, later, today. It's not even a possibility in her mind. Martha thought she understood what Jesus was saying to her. But she wasn't getting it fully. Her beliefs clouded her listening. Her beliefs clouded her thinking, and it limited them. She didn't understand who she was talking to. I wonder how much, making this real for us, I wonder how much of what Jesus has said and promised and communicated to us today that we get, really. That I wonder how much we fail to understand. And I think we can be like Martha here. Not with a bad attitude or maliciousness, but we take something so good and so incredible and we go, this is too good. I don't deserve that. They can't be true. Number four. Jesus offers truth that changes everything. This is possibly, definitely, top 10 verses in the Bible. Don't read ahead. Look at you people. Your head goes down immediately. It's like he's saying, Martha, you're not getting what I said. Your faith is limited. Let me give you the truth, Martha, that can change everything. You can live different, Martha, if you get this. Jesus is going to ask her to move beyond just ordinary belief, to accept him as God fully, to see him for what and who he really is, and move to a higher level of understanding. And I think the truth is trying to suck us right into that vortex to move to a higher level of understanding about this Jesus fella, God. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, remember the context of what we're talking about. He is going to rise again. And Martha thinks she gets it. And she goes on, gets doctrinal on him. I know, in the last days he'll be resurrected. She starts teaching Jesus. Jesus says, I am me. I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus is telling her and us that I'm in charge of life. The resurrection, later or now, is up to me, not you, not your wishes. Jesus is asking her at the highest of levels, will you please, Martha, just trust me? Come on. Trust me. Her trust was limited. Not out of maliciousness. Not out of ignorance. He was too much to take. The thought that her brother, whom she loved and he loved, would be brought back to life. I am the resurrection of life. The one who believes in me. Faith, where someone's faith is planted on Jesus and him alone. Understanding, apart from him, there is no heaven. You just don't get there on your own or by your effort. The one who believes in me will live even if they die. And whoever lives, and the idea of lives here is the idea of following, not only believing, but following, the one who lives by believing in me, will never die. And what he's saying in that is they possess eternal life. They don't get it when they die. They possess it. It's theirs. It belongs to them. It's a birthright through faith and adoption and being changed. And he looks at her, and this is all personal. And I believe if Jesus was here or in your home this afternoon, he'd make this personal to you. He'd look you in the eye and he'd say, do you believe me? That's what he did to Martha. Do you believe this? The statement, the truth of what he's saying. That it's me. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is telling her and us, life is in my hands. Our responsibility is to believe and to follow. That's it. So, when we talk about finding and following and falling in love with Jesus, that's it, baby. The good stuff will come. You just do that. You do that. Number five. Martha believes without understanding. She believes without understanding. She's all in for believing in him. She decided that long ago. You're right. She has the Jesus jersey on, and it's not coming off. She's a Jesus fan for life and has been. That's not in question here. But that doesn't mean that she understands his power. That doesn't mean that she knows fully what he's saying. She's not listening to understand. Martha communicates her faith clearly now in a beautiful confessional way. She says in verse 27, based on that incredible top 10 verse that Jesus makes a statement to her and the world through. Yes, Lord, of course, no doubt. And it wasn't the band, but no doubt. I believe. She replies, I believe that you are, and she lays out this beautiful rendition of what should be said by anybody that wants to believe. I believe that you're the Messiah, the sent one of God, the promised Savior. You alone are that. And the Son of God, God's one and only Son. There is no other. Who is to come into the world, the deliverer sent by God, as the Old Testament lays out. So she's got it down. Her doctrine is defined, baby. Wonderful words, great belief. But like the disciples, she wasn't hearing him. She couldn't get it. She believed right stuff in a limited way. She had a real faith, but she wasn't listening to him. And so I ask when I see this stuff in the Bible, and not about you, about me. About me. And when I ask about me, it ends up being about you too. Because you're me and I'm you. Ooh, isn't that cute? What are we missing? What are we missing? I want to tell you today, I believe in Jesus for reals. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Now, where am I, Jim McKinga, not listening fully? That is the attitude we want to have. Where am I, Jim McKinga, ignoring the obvious based on what the truth says and promises to me and you? Where am I failing to see what I should or could see, like Martha did? Number six, M&M, and it's not candy. Martha and Mary were responsive but didn't get it. They didn't get it. They did the right things. They believed the right things. They still missed a lot. They missed, arguably, the greatest miracle in the pages of Scripture. And it was their brother. And he told the disciples, and he told Martha what was going to happen. And it was too much. It was too much. It's as if, now listen to me, it's as if Jesus wasn't as big as he should have been. And when I think about that, I go, is Jesus as big as he should be to me? Not to you, to me. Is he as big as he should be to me? Is he as loved by me as he should be loved? Is my knee and heart and attitude bowed before him as much as it should be? Those are great questions to want, to long for him. Look at verse 28. After she said this, affirming her believing in Jesus, which is beautiful, she went back and called her sister Mary aside, privately in the house where she's being comforted by mourners. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking of you. So apparently, we don't see this in the text, but Jesus sent Martha, get Mary, and get her out of the house and try to do it quietly as best you can. He wanted to see Mary and talk to her as well, not just Martha, because she is the sister of Lazarus. And boy, family, when family faces a death, there's a closeness and a bond inside that family that is unique. The pain and the love and the sorrow and all that happens. It is a great privilege being a pastor. It's sad and it's hard and you feel the grief. But when you get to step in the inside where nobody else belongs, it is a wonderful, hard part of this job. But he's wanting Mary. He wants to give her special individual, if you will, time, I believe, here. In verse 29, when Mary heard this, Martha saying that the teacher wants to talk to you, she got up quickly. Boom, this is a right attitude, man. She stepped up, and she got up quickly and went to him. No messing around. Pretty cool response. Quickly. I like that. I want to be Mary here. I want to be Mary in a lot of ways. I guess I sort of am Mary. Sometimes I'm a big baby. Don't tell anybody. Emotionally. Because emotions is where we live, man. You get cold-hearted, and life isn't near as much fun. You shut down your emotions, and you're living a boring life. Because when you open them up, well, I could just go on. I'll stop. Forget the psychology stuff. So she got up quickly and went to him. Verse 30, now Jesus had not yet entered the village. So we're still outside of Bethany. And he's doing it for a reason. He knows there's going to be a big deal next Sunday morning, right? But was still at the place where Martha had met him, on the outskirts of the town. Verse 31, when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, grieving by her side, noticed how quickly she got up and went out. They knew something was up. They didn't know what. They had no idea. I sensed the conversation between Martha and Mary was private here. But they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. They were being supportive. They were responsive, even though they didn't get it. And I like that. That's the right attitude to have. If you have a beginning faith, just be responsive to Jesus. But get a shovel and start digging to get deeper with him. Don't stay this deep. Dig. Say, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want to be close to you. Help me. Lead me. Number 7 and last, Mary to Jesus. You could have healed him. Now, Mary was a sensitive soul, as we sort of, the Bible has proclaimed to us. She's the one that sat at his feet at their house when they had the dinner party, right? While Martha cooked and cleaned away, right? And then got ticked, like get-her-dones will do when others aren't get-her-dones, right? We all get that. I didn't say much, but we all get it. We get that. So she loved him, and we already knew that. Before this incident, we knew that. Look at what happens in John 11:32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, her first response, she fell at his feet. Beautiful. Sign of respect. Sign of worship. But as we all know, words mean things. How we say them, the way we say them, what we say when we say them, very important in the context of a good relationship. So she fell at his feet beautifully and said, as Martha didn't do that. That wasn't Martha's personality. It doesn't make Martha bad. But they're different people. She said, Lord, if you had been here, have we heard this before? My brother would not have died. Now, part of this is faith. She believes he could have healed him. It's not all bad. But one could take from this where she kind of, maybe indirectly said, you know, Jesus, it's kind of your fault. I wish things were different. Anytime somebody dies, no matter what age, we just wish we could go back. We wish it could be different. Now, nowhere did either Mary or Martha consider that Lazarus would be alive again, which to me is kind of fascinating. I mean, we're this side of history, okay? We know the story. But they never considered that Jesus could or would make him alive again now. Yeah, neither did the disciples, the men that walked with him, that he had brought other people back from the dead. Now, they weren't dead a long time. So maybe it wasn't the same thing. I'll give you that. But really, they didn't take him at his word. He told them. And they didn't believe him. They assumed some things. They assumed it's too late. He couldn't do it. That Jesus was limited. And I think, you know, we're at a different place in time than there. Why not ask him? Jesus, you mean like today maybe? I mean, it's the questions are beautiful. We've taught that here. Lots of people asked him questions. What if we asked, you know, what if we asked regularly and often between us and Jesus, and we said out loud in our car, in our room, in your bathtub, if you're a bathtub person, and I'm not because I don't fit. What if we asked, you know, Jesus, I want to be close to you. Jim, don't bother me. I just don't think that would be the response. What if we started asking him, what do I need to do to be yoked and linked to you like you want me to? If he would have asked, probably would have told him, you're going to have a very good day, ladies. Trust me. But they didn't. Well, what do we learn? A couple things. Bring this to a close. Number one, Jesus adds courage to our lives. If we want to believe in him and be followers of him, we can face danger with courage when we're close to Jesus differently than if we aren't and we're on our own. We can face danger with courage when we walk with him, when he's got our back and we know it, that we are really looking forward to heaven forever. And I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody in this room, ever. All of us, although, are going to die in the next 50, 60, if there's youngsters in here, 70 years. There's a couple babies around, maybe 90 years. Maybe they'll have a good long life. Maybe there'll be new medications in 50 years. I don't know. Maybe 120 will be the number one day. And I say, go. Why would you want to live that long? But okay. It's all right. But to live with courage, to live with confidence, to stand tall in your life, it's a good thing. It's powerful. It makes impact. I believe it bears fruit. I believe we should be the most courageous of people in any and every endeavor in life. We don't have to be the smartest. We just can be the most courageous, not in a rude, crude, or offensive way, but just confident in who Jesus is in our life. I know a lot of people don't want to hear about it. That's okay. I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to disrespect you. But you can have courage. And all of this with humility mixed in. It's incredible what a follower of Jesus can have and own and be. Jesus is the one who can take you there, nobody else. Nobody else. Number two, we can at times blame God for loss. I believe it's one of the things we learn here. Now, picking on Martha or Mary is not our goal today. But sometimes in life, if we're honest, and we try to get to that place in this room as often as possible, we question things. And on the inside of us, we want to blame someone. Generally, it's people. And somehow in that blame game, we think there's impact or power that's positive, and it never is. And every once in a while, we want to blame God because he should have come through for us. We don't talk about this stuff openly. It just happens in our mind because we're human. You're looking at me with these blank faces like you never do that. I know you better than that. And it's shameful. But it's reality. We oftentimes find ourselves totally self-willed. And we want our way in MW. Do you know what NMW means? No matter what, we want our way. Because we're human. God understands that. So somehow when we begin to live beyond that and we let go of self and self-will and our way, something unique happens. We begin to trust more fully. Because the power that comes when you have peace, even though you don't get what you want, when you have joy, even when things are broken in life and they aren't working the way you want it, life hasn't turned out the way you really wanted it to turn out, and yet you have peace and you have joy, that's a God thing. You can't create that. To fully trust God, we need to accept reality, but understand that He's above reality. He's beyond. And live grateful for what we have. Don't take shots at Jesus. Just trust Him, follow Him, and love Him. And you're better off for it. Number three, we can be responsive, yet not get it. That is a little scary, but it's true. And I tried to highlight this in the message if you heard me and got it. We can be full followers of Jesus, and yet not get it. We don't mean anything by it, but whether it's the world system or whatever that calls us to love and clamors about for our time and our energies, whatever it might be, we can be a bit clueless to how wonderful Jesus is, even though we believe in Him. We can be a little clueless about how in control He really is and how good the future will be and what we could accomplish if we loved Him all out. Our best path to where we belong is found in loving God and loving others, and it'll never change. If you spend your life loving God and loving others, listen to me, please, you'll never be sorry. You got to work, you got to take care of things, you got to do business. But when your passion, when you get up and out of bed, is I'm going to love God and I'm going to love other people to the best of my ability. You don't have to be a hero. You stay steady at that. And when you get old, like me, you'll look back. There'll be some fruit. There'll be some joy. There'll be some mistakes. We're just people. But we'll be planted well. Spend your life doing this. Number four and last. Let truth, not emotions, let truth change how you think and how you live. Jesus gave Martha, interesting that He gave it to Martha and not Mary. Just interesting. Maybe get her done, people have a thicker skull. I don't know. I'm not really a get her done person. I'm not picking on you. But He gave Martha and us spectacular words. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in Me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in Me will never die. I mean, just take that baby, that verse, and get it on a card and put it in your car and put it on your mirror at home when you shave or make yourself look better, whatever you do there. Lock this truth in for you. Trust this above everything. Above everything. Place your full human faith in those words of Jesus. Then watch what Jesus does. Watch Him. Watch Him. Listen to me. You follow what you're tied to, right? We just do. And I want you to take symbolically a rope and wrap it around your waist, and I want you to tie it to that verse and say, for me, by choice, this is true. This is the Jesus I love, the Jesus I depend on. Now, we're going to close with the video, as we do often. And it's about classic faith. And it's an old story. Some of you have heard it. But it's laid out pretty cool about trust and about faith. Enjoy. Let's pray. Lord, thanks that we can be together in this way and feel your warmth in the room and feel you touch our hearts. And I just pray, Lord, for each of us in our own way, in our own relationship individually with you, that we just take a step towards you and towards John 11:25, and that we would just pull it tighter to us and make the rope shorter that we're tethered to it by. And we want to not just believe, we want to know you. We want to be passionate about you in right and proper ways, with great respect to a world that just could give a rip about you. And we want to touch them with our peace, with our joy in the midst of lives that are real. So Lord, just take us. Thank you for the story of, thank you for Martha and Mary's weakness and strength at the same time. It's just a story of us, and we want to be people who take you at your word and embrace your promises as fully as we humanly can. So we love you, and we appreciate times like this. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. Remember, Thomas, oh God.